Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We're glad you can be with us as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
One of the most common sort of expressions in Christianity is Jesus is Lord. And we're so used to that expression, sometimes we don't understand the radical implications that are contained in saying that Jesus is Lord. And Peter Herbeck is with us today, and he's going to share some thoughts about the Lordship of Jesus.
Yeah, well, thanks, Ralph. I'm very happy to be able to do that. I mean, this is something that's been on my heart intensely for the church, kind of just in a broad way, looking at the current condition of the church. You say, one of the things we need to do again is help bring people into an understanding of what it means that Jesus is Lord, and what does it mean for me to become his disciple? Because Jesus is inviting me into a particular kind of relationship with him that's rooted in who he is and his authority and the claims now that he has on my life because he's the Lord. After he rose from the dead, he gathered the apostles together. What did he say? All power and authority in heaven and on earth.
Oh my goodness.
Belong to me.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah. Whoa.
All power.
Yeah.
All authority.
You think about the Big Bang. You think about the supernova. You think about volcanoes. Yeah. You think about tidal waves.
And that's a piece of cake for him.
Yeah.
All of it. You know what I mean? And so literally, the Lord of the universe became one of us so that he could rescue us from our condition of alienation from God the Father and break us, get us out of this hostility that we have toward God that leads us to a condition of slavery under a false Lord, the devil, right? Into a condition of slavery that leads us to domination and ultimately to hell. Not careful. Jesus came and he destroyed all that and he broke death's power. There was a power in Jesus Christ that was stronger. It swallowed up death in victory, right?
Yeah.
Is what happened. So he breaks those power, the whole regime of power that's dominating the human race, sin, the world, the flesh, the devil that are holding us down and holding us into a condition of slavery. Jesus burst that bonds. This is why he had to take on human flesh. He became one of us to destroy everything that was holding us down.
Yeah.
And then we see the Father's plan in Jesus to take, he moves from death to life. Our destiny was death because of sin. We had no hope and no future. Jesus came and he broke those powers and he went from death to life. He took human flesh with him. He took you with him. He took me with him. We could say in our baptism, we get united to that deed that by which Jesus saved us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so he comes through and now he's reigning. He takes human flesh to a place it never could have gone.
Yeah.
It's reigning in glory. It's
it's
being touched by the glorious majesty and power of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's where it is. And then he rises.
The amazing thing is I can't wait to say this. I know you're going to say it, but
go for it.
I mean, taking human flesh to where human flesh had never been and never could hope to go in the heart of the Trinity, taking human flesh to God the Father, whom nobody has ever seen, who dwells in inaccessible light. And the amazing thing is he's promising to take us there with him.
Yes.
I mean, what a promise, what a hope. I mean, how could you even imagine anything ever being offered to human beings?
Yeah.
I mean, to be transformed in spirit and body, to be able to go with Jesus and be with Jesus in the inaccessible light and infinite love of God the Father.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. It's completely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And so he's seated at the right hand of the Father, which means he has all the power of divinity, the Catechism reminds us. So all power belongs to Jesus of Nazareth now at the right hand of the Father. And then he pours out his Holy Spirit, and only he can do that. The Holy Spirit is that life principle. It's the third person of the Trinity. It's the life of God itself being poured into the earth, into our hearts and us through baptism. And we come to life and we share in his new existence. We get the down payment of the fulfillment of the future promise of being able to reign in glory with Jesus Christ forever. So that's what he can offer us as the Lord, and only him, not Muhammad, not Buddha. No one else can do that. He's the Lord. And that's the exercise of his authority. And the Spirit is the one who reveals to us the truth about the lordship of who Jesus is. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
The gospel is proclaimed like the apostles did, announcing the lordship and majesty of Jesus, his victory over sin and death, and the gift of eternal life and salvation. And when Jesus is preached as Lord, the scripture says, God sheds his light into our hearts so that we can see the glory on the face of Jesus. We can see the future of the human race on the face of Jesus Christ glorified.
And not only the future of the human race, our future, our personal future, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
This is our brother.
My future.
And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
And where I am, you will be also.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing.
And he was given a commission by the Father to come and to save us, but to deal with all the enemies of God. And right now, he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us, scripture says, and he's subduing the enemies of God. Mm-hmm. And this is a time of mercy, how you often like to talk about. This is a time of grace for the church between the two comings of Jesus, when he came as a lamb in mercy the first time, but he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. The definitive final action of God's plan on the earth is going to come through the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to destroy all God's enemies. And the question is, am I a friend of God or an enemy of God?
Right, right.
That's the question.
Right.
And mercy has come through the church to say, don't be an enemy of God. Come and receive God's love.
Be reconciled with God. Be reconciled with God. The cry of Jesus Christ. Be reconciled with God.
Yeah. And he's got the authority to give you a share in what belongs to him.
Mm-hmm.
The new creation, his existence with the Father and the glory. That's what he wants to give us, to make us sons and daughters of God now and not hostile enemies to God.
Yeah.
The question, we got to pay attention to that, though.
Yeah.
So the gospel goes out and is preached to the church. This is why the church exists, to announce what you and I have been talking about.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
And then to live it together in the preaching of the church and the sacraments and our whole life together. Mm. Hopefully we're living it and we're radiating light to the world to say, he truly is Lord. Come on in and join us and be rescued and be saved. Because we don't know when he's coming back, but for sure, when he comes back, all those who have refused God are going to be condemned. I mean, that's what the scripture says plainly and clearly.
Well, you see these artistic depictions of the final judgment. You have like on the Sistine Chapel, you have half the people are like shying away from the returning Lord, and the others are welcoming him. And we need to welcome him now so that he will welcome us.
Yes.
You know, if you confess me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven.
Yeah.
If you don't profess me before men, I will not recognize you before my Father in heaven. Yeah. You know, so the stakes are really high. I mean, and Christianity isn't a game. It isn't like an optional enrichment exercise. It isn't like nice to make explicit what's already there anonymously and everybody else. It's really a message of salvation.
Yeah.
And us Catholics shouldn't be afraid of the S word, should we, Peter?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, what the Catholic Church is all about is salvation.
And what's important for us to see is that because Jesus is Lord and he's offering us this gift of salvation, Jesus sets the terms of a relationship that he's initiating with us. He says, if you want to come after me, he said, here's what I've done for you. Here's the condition of your life. Here's your relationship to God. Here's what I've done to reconcile you to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want this, this is how you come. You repent. You acknowledge your sin. You turn away from your insistence that you're the Lord, that you're in charge. You can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And you submit your life to me.
Mm-hmm.
I become your Lord. All power and authority that I have now, you acknowledge it and you submit your life to it. And like St. Paul said, he says, you know, in I think it's in 2 Corinthians, where he says, Jesus died so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again.
Yeah.
That's a good description of the transformation needs to happen.
Yeah.
I need to move from living for myself to living for the Lord.
And that involves like a personal loyalty.
Yeah.
You know, Christ died for me.
Yeah.
You know, like Paul says, you know, he died for me.
Yeah.
And I want to now live for him.
Yeah.
You know, this personal loyalty too, it's not just doctrinal correction. There's a personal relationship and personal loyalty.
Yeah, it's very deep. It's very personal. It's total.
Yeah.
And it's a total life commitment. And he said, if you want to come after me, that's a term, a discipleship term, if you want to follow after me, which I'm calling you to do.
You know, Peter, people define discipleship, because I think the word's tossed around, and what does it really mean to be a disciple of Jesus rather than a follower at a distance?
It's like a total, it's a like a student, or like a disciple is one who follows a master. and follows a teacher kind of on a basic definition. But in this case, we recognize Jesus as the ultimate teacher and ultimate Lord. And I say yes to his invitation to enter a relationship with him, where he gives to me what belongs to him and a share in it, and I follow his teaching and I dedicate my life to him. And so he'll say, if you want to be that kind of person, this is what it means to be my disciple.
Mm-hmm.
You deny yourself, the relationship that you have to yourself to call the shots. I'm in charge. I'm no longer in charge. He's in charge. Mm-hmm. I look to him, and to please him is now my first step and my first instinct.
How do people look to him? How do people find out what Jesus wants for them?
Well, scripture is a fundamental place. I mean, Jesus reveals himself in the gospel. The whole Bible sees mm-hmm. God's plan of salvation, but we see the direct teaching of Jesus himself in, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is important. So disciples need to read this over and over and over again, and just listen to the teaching of Jesus and take it into your heart as it's interpreted for us in the church's magisterium and its understanding mm-hmm. of the scripture mm-hmm. and the writing of the apostles in the whole New Testament is mm-hmm. really very important. Mm-hmm. The preaching of the church, the lives of the saints we mm-hmm. see. We see the saints as they're the ones who really model for us yeah. in many ways that surrender that yeah. Jesus
they're,
called
for. They're
the
for. Ones who do it.
Yeah, they're the ones yeah. who actually yeah. went for it.
And the thing is that one of the things that Vatican II is saying is that every single one of us is called to that surrender. Every single one of us is called yeah. to holiness.
Yeah.
Every single one of us is called to a complete yeah. gift of ourselves to Christ and yeah. living as a disciple.
Yeah, so it's that denial of myself that I'm no longer in charge, and then to take up my cross daily.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone, the cross is...
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, you know, the cross is walking in the will of God no matter what comes your way.
Mm, that's
you know?
A good definition.
Yeah, and understanding that my life is completely in his hands, and he's the Lord of every circumstance, and whatever I experience in my life, whatever... my obedience to the Lord leads me to, I need to carry that cross. I need to carry it because sometimes it could be really difficult. Like mm-hmm. for the apostles and the saints, it literally led for them to literal martyrdom mm-hmm. and literal death. But then there's little crosses every day. I have to love my wife, love my children, love my neighbor in the way that Jesus talked about it, the way the scripture taught about it, you know, to lay down my life for other people, not insist on my own way, not to mm-hmm. be bossy or pushy or to, you know, answer people with anger or whatever, the kind of daily relationships. I submit my whole way of relating to people in life to Jesus's perspective of love and how I'm supposed to live. And that means dying to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's carrying a cross. I might get sick. I might get cancer. I might have mm-hmm. something happen to me that's out of my control, and prayer doesn't necessarily heal it, but I have to bear it up.
Yeah.
And that's a weight that I have to carry. It's a cross and a burden, but as a disciple, I understand that nothing happens to me apart from the loving will of my God.
Right.
And even in this situation, which is a terrible burden, he will use it to perfect me and to lead me to holiness
yeah.
if I allow him to do that.
Yeah.
And so I bear it up properly
yeah.
and say, Lord, I give this back to you because you're my Lord, you're
yeah.
my master.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? So that's like...
Yeah. And another aspect of the Lordship of Christ, it implies in us a complete trust in divine providence.
Yeah.
Like he really is in charge.
He is, yep.
And he only permits evil when he has a plan for bringing good out of it. And we can totally rely on his word that for those who love God, everything works according to the good, even the bad things, you know, yeah. work according to the good. So one implication of the Lordship of Jesus is that he really is in charge.
Yeah.
You know, and he's only permitting Satan to do what Satan does and what wicked men do what wicked men do because he's got a plan for turning the tables on Satan and wicked yeah. men and vindicating the righteous.
Right.
Right now, the righteous may be under persecution. They may be suffering. They may even say, why are the wicked flourishing? And yeah. I'm having a hard time in life, you know, type of thing. And then, you know, as the psalm says, I was wondering, you know, why are the wicked flourishing? Why are they sleek and fat? Why are they appear to be blessed in this life? And then he says, I went into the temple and I beheld the glory of God and my questions were silenced. I know that all of his ways are true, all of his ways are just, that we can't completely understand now how it's all going to be worked out, but we completely have confidence yeah. that it will be worked
right.
out.
Yeah.
In a totally just, merciful, good way.
And the Lord loves that disposition.
Yeah.
It's faith. It's surrender.
Yeah.
It's a radical ban
mm-hmm.
of my life and trust
mm-hmm.
to say that this pattern of life that the Lord has revealed to me in Scripture is the way to fulfillment mm-hmm. and happiness and joy. And his will, no matter what it looks like to me, is actually what I need most. You know, to do the will of him who sent me is my whole purpose in life. That should be my food. I mean, in Jesus' model for us on the cross, he's saying, I mean, lots of people are saying, you know, you look like a failed Messiah. Come on down from that cross. Yeah. It looks like the whole, looks
they're
like
mocking
whole,
him. They're cheering
and
saying,
looks like your whole enterprise went in the toilet, buddy. You better come down. And Jesus trusted the Father.
Yeah.
He gave to God what belongs to God, which is absolute abandonment and trust to his will, as opposed to my reading of the circumstances of my life. This is hard. I'm getting out of here. That's what we want to do, you know, and that's what some of the apostles did.
Right.
But Jesus modeled for us what a disciple does, what someone who lives under the lordship of Jesus does, that you're not afraid of death even. And that's what the apostles went on to do.
Yep.
They died martyrs and saying, you can't hurt me. You can't use fear and the fear of death to manipulate me to disobey God.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen anymore because I know a new power in my life now. It's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I know Jesus Christ is Lord and I'm hanging on to him come what may.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of life and what it means to be a disciple.
Yeah. Fee, what are some examples of where the decision for Jesus' lordship could come into a person's life?
I mean, I think the battle that we're in is we're under the power of sin and death, Scripture says. And the devil likes to manipulate, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, enslave the human race through the fear of death,
is the idea.
And so part of what happens, you see the examples like this. Let's say a young college girl, her boyfriend, and she ends up getting pregnant, okay, in the relationship, and she panics, and he panics. So wait a minute, we didn't plan this, we don't want this, we don't have the money for this, it's going to wreck what we want to do, and what should we do? Well, their conscience will say one thing and the devil will say another. Their flesh will say another thing. The devil will say, well, you can just dispose of that child like this, a piece of cake. It's easy, you know, but something in them will say, no, this is a human being and I brought this human being into life. So this battle goes on. Many people are choosing to go the way of the devil's temptation. And so what's being expressed there is you're living under the lordship then and the authority of the dominion of darkness. And those kind of battles go on all the time. That's a very dramatic example of that. Cohabitation. People are just deciding, we're not going to get married. We're going to live as if we're married, do all the things that you do as a married couple because we don't think we can do it or we don't want to make a commitment that's long. We don't want to bind ourselves. And whatever the reason is, what ends up happening is there's another way we're shaping something fundamental that the Lord has revealed to us about how we ought to live, right? And that we ought to be married and only certain things can happen within the context of Christian marriage. And so, again, temptation to live a different way of life. And those kind of decisions come by all the time. Now, without the help of the Holy Spirit, the key here and the source of power and what the Christian community, the Christian church is teaching the world, hopefully, is to say, without the help of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be able to live consistently a different way of life. It won't happen. New life, new power, right?
How do people get the help of the Holy Spirit?
Okay.
How do people get this not just to be words or concepts or I wish I could understand that or I wish I could live that? How can they actually connect with?
That's good. Yeah, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you know, John said, gave you baptism and repentance, but I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the key is for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, those of us who are baptized receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at our baptism. But for many of us, we've never come to the place where we've entered into a relationship with the Holy Spirit and allowed the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit to be released in our lives. And you do that by simply, you know, repenting of sin, turning to the Lord, acknowledging the Lord's desire, what he's given to you, and then inviting the Holy Spirit to lay hold of your life and to be fully released within you. The gifts of baptism, the gifts of confirmation. Lord, grant me the gift and the power, Lord, to live this new way of life and to say really simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, time and time again. Come, Holy Spirit, and, you know, release your work, release your grace, release all that you've given to me in my life. Study what God says about, what the Lord says about the Holy Spirit in the Scripture, and learn from others. And you've written a good book on a new Pentecost, a little booklet people could get to help people understand. And I remember for me, Ralph, I was at a conference in 1978 at the University of Notre Dame and first time exposed to such tremendous preaching and clarity. You were there, other people, just a 20-year-old young guy. And I was praying all weekend, realizing, you know, I don't know the power that these people have. I have never experienced it. And I don't think I can live this way. Because a whole lot of me doesn't want to live this way. But a lot of me wants to live this way. And I'm really divided. I feel weak and divided. And I prayed and prayed. I remember that last event of the conference was a mass 30,000 people in the stadium at University of Notre Dame. And I'm begging God for grace that I don't have. I said, please come, Holy Spirit. I started listening to people talking about it all weekend. So I started praying like they were praying.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back from communion and had this struggle going inside and really wanted faith and love that would really make a difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And a total stranger came up to me and looked at my name tag and said, Peter, he said, I want to share something with you. Do you mind? He said, I'm sitting back here a few rows waiting to go to communion, and I saw you. And as soon as my eyes fell on you, he said, the Holy Spirit came upon me and came, moved me to come and tell you that the faith and love that you seek shall be granted to you because Christ loves you and he's died for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And as soon as he said that, it's hard to explain, Ralph. It's just like a revelation happened. I got hit.
Yeah.
And in my heart, I just felt the love of God pour into me.
Yeah.
And as I was experiencing, I grabbed this total stranger and I'm holding on to him because love was flooding me.
Yeah.
And I saw in my spirit, for the first time in my life, the majesty of Jesus, the Lordship, but just a little teeny glimpse of his authority and his beauty and his power.
Yeah.
And he gave me something that I never had before.
Yeah.
And all I needed was to draw near to him and let him come and touch me and open my heart to him.
Yeah.
That's so simple.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. And he'll come and give us what we need to be able to live a different way. And my life was totally changed. Have I stumbled since then? Yeah. Do I struggle? Yeah. But it totally changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that Jesus is Lord.
I know that I know him.
Yeah.
And I know he's got the power. He's given me the power to live a different way of life.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when I don't want to, and I finally repent about something that I need to let go of, if I turn to him, he brings us out of it. He brings us through it because he's totally committed to presenting you and me and everyone else to the Father with perfection and holiness, the gift to the Father. That's
and
what he's
going to do. Bring us to a place where human flesh could never get without the resurrection of Christ. Well, you know, Peter, there's so many implications of the Lordship of Christ.
Yeah.
And it's so relevant, the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to share a few practical things that people can do to open themselves more to this power. Yeah. You know, you're out there and you're saying, I want more of the Holy Spirit. I don't get as much about the Lordship of Jesus as I want to. I don't feel like I've got the courage or the power to make some of those decisions. And how can I get there? Well, I would say start by asking the Lord to give you more of the Holy Spirit, to give you more courage, to give you more of him. And the way you can make that practical is in like daily prayer. Like just start praying a little bit more each day, like for real, like find some time each day that you can just be with the Lord, you know, get out that little Magnificat prayer book or get out the Bible and just start meditating on God's word and crying out to God to show you more. Another thing I would say is find out other people in your area who are living this way and that are on fire with Christ and maybe they're offering things like, you know, Curcio movement or prayer groups or Bible studies. You know, get involved with other people who are also seeking God and wanting to grow in understanding and following Jesus as his disciples. And then I would also say if there's any opportunity to do a retreat or just to do anything that would kind of like put you even more in contact with Christ and his spirit, that would be a really good thing to do because the future of the church, our future, the future of the world really depends on more and more of us perceiving the Lordship of Christ and responding to it with all our minds and hearts. A lukewarm church, a lukewarm Christianity isn't going to be able to strengthen us for the persecution that's coming, and it's not going to be able to equip us to proclaim with boldness and joy, freed from the fear of death, the truth about Jesus as Lord, because the Lordship of Jesus is threatening to every other power and principality. We need to recognize that there's a conflict going on, and we need that deeper personal relationship with Jesus in order to be part of the battle.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.